بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآل الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني من نور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علوم رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Alhamdulillah, we had an introductory discussion about Isma, and now we are going to continue our discussion. There are several discussions in the book on Isma. The first is about the necessity of immunity of revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, decided to provide us with guidance. A wise never, you know, does anything in vain or anything, you know, just halfway. If he decides to do something, he does it for a purpose. And he makes sure that the purpose is achieved. Okay? Yes, in the case of human beings, maybe even a wise person cannot achieve his purpose because of the problem with power. Because a wise person can be limited in power. In the case of Allah, because he has also power and knowledge, so whatever he wants to achieve, he can achieve. So, the wisdom of Allah requires creating human beings and providing them with guidance. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides human beings with guidance through revelation, but this guidance never reaches us, the purpose then is missed. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angel who is responsible for bringing revelation down, maybe Jibra'il or maybe there are other angels, he sends a revelation down. I'm not going to talk now about different types of revelation. That's something that we can talk about it later. One form is through the angels. If the angel or angels who are responsible for bringing revelation to the Prophet, they don't do their job properly, then the purpose is not achieved. Or if they do their job properly, but the Prophet does not receive it completely, again, there's a problem. Or if he receives properly, but he cannot deliver it properly, again, that's a problem. So, you know, we have many stages from Allah up to the Prophet. There has to be protection. When the Prophet receives, also has to be protection. Because maybe Allah communicates something to the Prophet, but then the Prophet doesn't understand or makes mistakes or forgets. You know, the Quran says very beautifully, بِالْحَقِّ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. If someone doesn't know this theological point, he may say, why Allah repeats? بِالْحَقِّ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ is enough. He says, truthfully, we sent it down. And truthfully, it came down. But this is not repetition. بِالْحَقِّ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ means when it departed us, it was in compliance with truth. And also when it was delivered to the Prophet, was also in compliance with truth. So in between, nothing changed. بالحق انزلناه وبالحق نزل. The prophet also receives it completely. Okay? There is no forgetfulness, no mistake. And he is also supposed to deliver it truthfully. So, everything has to be completely protected. You know, like for example, if you want to communicate to your branch or your representative in another town, another place, you need to make sure that you have a secure way of communication. That whatever you want to communicate can be received without alteration, without change, and also vice versa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, provided us with guidance. And again, because of his wisdom, he makes sure that that guidance is delivered to the Prophet properly, and the Prophet delivers to us properly. What is not guaranteed is our understanding, our interpretation. Yeah, this is not guaranteed. Here, lots of mistakes can happen, or lots of mischief can happen. But this does not affect the purpose of Allah. Because the purpose of Allah was everyone should have access to the truth. Okay? How they respond to the truth, it's between them and Allah. They have to do it in a responsible way. They have to be accountable. Some people respond properly, some people don't. But what is important is the message is there. Of course, there is a difference between the time of Islam and before. In the past, Allah was making sure that the message is delivered by the prophets truthfully, okay? But the people, in addition to being able to reject, they were also able to distort the message. So Allah was sending, again, revelation, again, book. In the case of Quran, people may respond positively or negatively, but they can never distort the literal revelation. So Quran is guaranteed, but they can misuse, misinterpret. That is not guaranteed to stop. But at least Allah has gone one step further to say that I preserve this book because this is my last message. So the literal revelation is guaranteed to remain. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الزَّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. This was not applicable to previous revelations. For them, Allah didn't guarantee. So it's a maximum security that Allah provides. But he doesn't come further and says, okay, I also guarantee that you understand it properly. Or I guarantee that Muslims do proper presentation of Quran. No, this is not guaranteed. Okay, so alhamdulillah, at least up to this part is good. So Allah has done his job. So alhamdulillah, now we, after 14 centuries, have the same access to the Quran that companions of the Prophet had. It's a great gift. Salman and Abu Zar and Miqdad didn't have more access to the Quran than what we have. Yeah, this is very important. So, to fulfill his purpose, he makes sure that the angels receive it properly, pass it on properly, the prophet receives properly, pass it on properly. And this is something that all Muslims agree, as far as revelation is concerned. If there is a problem, maybe some people have not been able to articulate it properly, whatever. But basically, we think that this is something that all Muslims agree or should agree. But there are differences between Muslim schools of thought about other dimensions of Isma. For example, angels are do doing other things. They are not just responsible for bringing revelation. We have angels who do other things, or we have angels of Wahy who may do other things. Are the angels ma'soom, infallible in all their activities, or this is only for the angels as far as they are delivering the revelation to the prophet? Okay, so there are two questions. The angels who are involved in Wahy, bringing Wahy, are they ma'soom in other things that they do? And second, other angels who are not involved in Wahy at all, are they ma'soom or not? Okay? This is about the angels. About the prophets, they are infallible in receiving and delivering Wahy. What about other activities? What about their personal life? What about forgetfulness? What about committing sins? This type of things. And the other question is about people who are not prophets and they are not angels, like imams. Infallibility of imams. This is another question. So we have four aspects to this discussion. One is very easy, and that is about the angels and prophets with respect to Wahy. But then we have question about angels in other areas, or other angels, about prophets in other areas, and about non-prophets like imams. So there are different aspects to this. The discussion about imams, we leave it for discussion about imamate. Okay, so we discuss it there. About the angels, if you want to see whether angels are ma'soom or not, there are two ways. One is to discuss this philosophically, rationally, by bringing intellectual arguments. This is very difficult. This needs to know what is the nature or essence of the angels. Whether they are abstract, they are mujarrad or not, this is something that needs a philosophical discussion. And this is not necessary for us now. Therefore, Ayatollah Mesbah says we only refer to two verses of the Quran. According to these two verses of the Quran, one may argue that the angels are not committing mistakes or sins. So instead of bringing rational or intellectual arguments, we bring naqli, transmitted arguments. One verse is this verse, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. La ya'suna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. This is in Surah Anbiya. I didn't, unfortunately, write down the number, but it's Surah Anbiya. La ya'suna Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun. They don't disobey Allah in what Allah has commanded them, and they do whatever they are asked. So they are
26, 27.
Yeah. So these are fully obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another verse is in Surah Tahrim. بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They are honored, respected servants of God, because angels are also servants of Allah. They do not precede God in a speech. It means that they don't do things out of their own will. Yeah? They follow Allah's will. وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ. and they act according to the command of God. So these two verses suggest that the angels are fully obedient. Of course, there are some discussions among ulama whether these apply to all the angels or the angels who are very high in their position. So this is something that can be discussed further. I don't think we need to discuss that. So the idea of our great contemporary scholars like Allama Tabatabai, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli and others is that the angels don't do any mistake, they don't commit any sin. All of them. Now we move on to the prophets. With respect to committing sins in areas other than delivering the revelation, or not committing sin, but making mistake, forgetting. This is something that we need to discuss further. We make few points, and inshallah maybe we can also mention some arguments from the Quran today, inshallah, if Allah permits. But I think I should stop because it's now time of Adhan. We have 7 minutes? Okay, so let me just make one point, inshallah, after Salah we can. You have to remember some points. Isma, when we are talking about not committing sins, is different from just not committing sins. What does it mean? Maybe a person, by chance, it happens that he has not committed any sin. Especially those whose life is very short. Okay? Maybe they haven't committed any sin, but we don't say they are ma'sum. Isma is a malika, means an established quality in the person that even if he is faced with very difficult situation and he's really challenged, still he doesn't commit sin. So it's more than just not committing sin. Yeah? You know, there are people who have never committed some types of sins. But this is not necessarily make it a ma'asum because they were not exposed to this. Okay? Or they died before being exposed to it. Isma is a quality inside the person, is a, you know, something positive, existential that you acquire, you build, that gives you protection. You know, if I want to give you maybe an analogy, for example, sometimes we have a person who has very a strong immunity system in his body. So he eats in a environment which is full of germs and viruses, but because of his immunity system, he's healthy. And sometimes we have a person whose immunity system is broken down, but he is in artificial, you know, environment that we kept viruses away. Okay? These two are very much different. We don't want to have just lack of virus. We want to build ourselves so much that if we are also living in a society in which there are viruses, we can protect ourselves. This happens to some extent with adala, with taqwa. Taqwa is a strong, you know, protection, shelter. But then isma. Isma is much more. But even mu'mineen, like you, can have that protection. There's a beautiful ayah in the Quran. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين اتقوا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. It's a very beautiful ayah. Please go and, you know, study this ayah. Those who are pious, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا سَلَامَ لَكُمْ إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Those who are pious, and from this you can realize whether you are pious or not. If you are pious, you should have this quality. When a group of Satans who are going around, ta'ifun means they are going around. When they are visited by a group of Satans who go around, they are touched by them, they are visited by them. Massah means they are touched by them. Tadhakkaru. They realize. And then they start seeing. So sometimes you can have a satanic touch. Someone comes, you know, speaks to you, or I don't know, you receive something, you receive an email, I don't know, a movie, some website, a film, whatever, a bad suggestion. It touches your heart, but you realize, oh, this is satanic. Tadhakkaru. And when you realize, you see the problem. We are very much defenseless when we are in ghafla, when we are heedless. Yeah? It seems that sometimes, unfortunately, we close our eyes. We don't see the problem. If you open your eyes, the eyes of the heart, you can see the problem. Okay? So, with respect to muttaqin, Allah says they have such quality that when shaitan comes and touches them, they realize. So they push away shaitan. But ma'soom is the one that shaitan even cannot touch them. Goes very near, but cannot touch them. Inshallah, we will explain about mukhlasin, that how they are protected. So, isma is not just not to commit sins. Isma is to have that existential quality that gives you immunity and protection. So much so that you are not affected by satanic temptations. Whether they come from outside or inside. Because satanic temptations sometimes are coming from outside, sometimes they are imported, sometimes they are produced locally. But we have to be ma'asum with respect to both. So, inshallah, we continue after salat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.